Tactopia. Tactopia er en podcast om mennesker og deres teknologi. Den er udgivet af Ingeniørforeningen IDA i samarbejde med Teknologiens Mediehus, HI-messen, Index Award, Innovation Center Danmark og IDA Forsikring. Mit navn er Henrik Føns, og det er mig, der bestemmer i Tactopia. Tactopia. Den her udgave af Tactopia, den er optaget på årets Tech Barbecue, som jo er det her sammenrende af flere tusind mennesker i en stor hal i Kødbyen i København. Alle sammen med en interesse i startups og teknologi. Jeg er lusket hen i et hjørne af Øksnehallen her, hvor jeg har fundet en masse folk fra Estland. Simpelthen et helt startup community, som man kalder det, som i meget høj grad er fokuseret omkring robotter. Jeg har tænkt mig at kigge på to helt specifikke estiske robotter. Den ene, det er en bartender, og den anden, den kan rydde sne og rydde op på gader og stræder, samle cigaretskodder og hundelorte osv. sammen. Det, der er interessant ved robotteknologi, det er, at man kan finde robotter, som hjælper mennesker med at løse deres opgave. Det er for eksempel en teknologi, som de robotter har med Universal Robotics producerer i Odense. Og så kan man finde robotter, som decideret erstatter menneskelig arbejdskraft. Og de to robotter, jeg skal kigge på nu, jeg kan forstå på de mennesker, der laver dem, at de er simpelthen ude på at erstatte menneskelig arbejdskraft, fordi mennesker i de her situationer åbenbart er både ineffektive, upålidelige og alt for dyre i drift. Så her har vi altså at gøre med robotter, der simpelthen snupper jobs fra os mennesker. Den ene, den hedder Jarno, det er en robotbartender, og den anden, den hedder Loombot, og det er en robot, der kan rydde sne, og så kan den også om sommeren laves om, så den kan gøre rent på gader og stræder. Lad os starte med bartenderen.
My name is Alan. I'm from Tallinn, Estonia, and I am running a startup that builds a robot bartender.
So you're going to replace the human bartender with a robot?
Actually not. That's a very wide question that I guess asked a lot, actually. But what I like to bring as an example is that we are on the verge of a technical revolution right now. And it's considered third or fifth, but now if you think about what happened during the last revolutions when machines replaced horses or carriages or whatever, people in factories, for instance. So the people got a 5-day work week, they got a much, much better working conditions. So I think this is what is happening right now also. We are definitely not replacing the bartenders who do some, you know, enjoyable work behind the nice bars and take time to make like beautiful and tasty cocktails. We're rather addressing the market that is in a strong need. Everybody knows that the service industry right now is in a great need of workers, and it's a big problem, especially in Western countries where the labor is expensive. So we are actually addressing the market that is short of workers, for instance, like nightclubs, hotel lobbies, busy sports venues, airports, and we are, you know, taking away the rush hour problems and so on. And our machines can work with people also, so it's kind of a helping tool and enabling tool. And yeah, that's our aim, actually. My background, by the way, is 15 years in nightclub and bar business, so I know quite a lot about it and the problems, and that's how I came to an idea, because I saw the struggle or the fight where the counter was kind of the borderline and there was a barman on one side and people yelling, "Where the hell is my drink?" on the other side, right? So I, as a bartender, lose money and people lose time, and it's a problem, and it never has been solved. So I kind of started thinking, how can I put out the drinks faster? How can I serve people faster? And there's always a problem with the labor. I mean, especially now with the young people, they don't show up to the work. They take a lot of time off. It's very hard to find those people. Some people steal. There's many issues, and the salaries, sometimes they make up 40% of your expenses. And of course, some people will be out of work, but that's already the whole system is going to change. People need to re-educate themselves and come together with a changing world.
Can you explain how this robot works?
Yes, it's actually quite simple from the outside. It's a bar. It's 3 meters high, 2.5 in a diameter, and there's a robot hand that mixes you drinks. So that's the basic concept. You have an app with what you can order your drinks. You have the selection there. You can, as a bar owner, fill it out with whatever you want. Bring in different recipes and put out whatever beverages you like. So that's kind of the easy way concept. As a user, you select the drink, you pay, robot mixes a drink, you take it, then you go.
I'm just thinking this sounds kind of complicated and expensive compared to human labor.
Yes and no. The machine costs 150,000. This sounds expensive, but actually, if you put it on a Excel sheet,
euros,
yeah. If you put it on an Excel sheet, then you earn this money back quite fast, actually. Depending on a bar, how many people you have coming in, but half a year, paying back this is absolutely guaranteed. Now, if you calculate, it is as fast as 4 bartenders. My last bar had 4 bartenders behind the 10-meter counter, so it takes up much more room and workforce. And those 4 guys could put out 80 drinks per hour. Because now imagine, if there's a counter, people walk there, they, you know, decide, they ask, they order, then the bartender gets all the ingredients, starts doing the thing, then there's a payment process that takes time. But my machine, from the ordering to the drink, it takes 1 minute. So it saves you a lot of time and a lot of workforce.
But why do we actually need the robot? Wouldn't it be possible to mix the drinks or sell them in a bottle?
Definitely. I could build a black box that has just one hole where you put your glass, right? But it wouldn't be fun. I mean, if you check out our machine, you see the design, the beauty of it, and actually you can enjoy and see also the process. That's something, you know, that people would film, take photos, and it's cool to watch how the robot hand, you know, mixes the drink. So that's also the idea is also partly entertainment and show. Of course, you can do it much cheaper and much simpler, but who would want a cocktail from a machine like that? That's then something like from a train station, and that's boring.
One of the things about a bartender is that you can actually sit there and talk to someone behind the counter and have a conversation, or maybe talk about the drinks he's mixing or the beer he's serving. What will happen to this sort of a social conversation?
That's the second most asked question that I always get. But two things. First, those bars where you go to talk with people, those guys, bars will never disappear. And that's their function, kind of, your kind of little home bar where you know people and everything. And this is something where we are not going, definitely. The second concept that you go to a bar to talk to somebody, I would say that it actually is bullshit. It's a cliche from the movies. Nobody does it, actually, especially in Europe or Scandinavia, because or the places we are going. In the nightclubs or in a busy bars, you go and yell to a bartender, you order, you pay, and you leave, and sometimes you're angry that he's not fast enough. And this talking moment in a nightclub scene or our market is quite impossible. And third, to cover this, because we get this question a lot, and then we started thinking, why not to make our robot also able to talk? We are developing an AI chatbot in it that also can hold a conversation, ask about your wife, crack a joke, also maybe advertise something. If you like your gin, then you can have 20% off from a nearby shop or something. So it's a longer project. It takes time to build an AI that is, you know, believable. But we have started, and the simple version, it is also included in the first prototype. So we are thinking about this too. I think the first version of the machine definitely needs a somebody who helps out, let's say, a security or somebody who lets you in, somebody who, you know, explains things or talks to people, a host, let's say. We would definitely advise our first clients to have a person like that, you know, to take the fear out and make it more fluent. This could be an issue in the beginning, yes, but I think people are getting more and more used to the robots, and even in the service industry, and it's not such a problem anymore. In Asia, definitely not. In America, much less than in Europe, and we're also getting there.
So do you see Asia as your first market?
No. Europe, definitely, because it's much easier to do business here in European Union. Second, it's close by. Third, it's kind of our culture. And Asia is tricky. It's something else. I mean, there's China. That is a bit dangerous to go. We get a lot of requests from the Chinese to buy the machines, to come to work as interns. You know, there's several issues with that. So we are addressing Asia third, I think. First Europe, then America, then Asia.
When you say issues, is this an issue of IP, intellectual property, or...?
Definitely, yeah. There's a lot of interest from China. We get investment interest, customer interest, participation in building and engineering interest. And well, I'll give you a case. The same company, Clever, from Estonia, that produces for Walmart, they went to a... I think it was an expo or conference or something to showcase their first prototype. And then a guy came, filmed, took photos, and a month later there was an exact copy on sale in Alibaba. So this industrial espionage and attention from there and the laws that this country has are a bit frightening for us. So we want to make sure that we are protected before we go there.
So your robot will be produced in Europe?
Yeah, definitely. We produce it at home in Estonia. There's a company that produces for Ericsson and Nokia for 20 years already, so they are our partners.
How far are you in the process? Is it possible to see this robot any place, or is it still in the works?
It's still in the works, but we are very close. So we have been building it for 1.5 years, and the prototype should be ready for the end of this year. And then we're going to set it up in a showroom in Estland, and then the production should start very soon, also hopefully next summer. So we are quite close.
And then who are you partnering with?
With the local university of Tartu, they do the science work and building, and then there's a local electronics company in Estonia who will assemble the machines and produce.
It seems to me that you have sort of a robot or artificial intelligence community in Estonia.
Yes, that's quite strange actually, because we don't have much that industry there, but the startup scene there is booming. Of course, yeah, you know, everybody knows Taxify, Skype, and the TransferWise, for instance. Those guys are actually all from my school. So there's this very close community. They inspire each other. They share the contacts, and maybe that's why, I don't know. Cleveron is also another one that builds those robot. Package delivery things for Walmart USA. So there is a thriving scene, yeah. We have most startups per capita in the world. Yeah, I would advise people not to be afraid of robots, because this hysteria and absurd claims that media produce every day just to get the clicks and attention. I follow all the media about robots, robotics, AI. It's mostly negative. It's mostly fears that are totally uncontrolled and not backed claims, no scientific background to that. The robots taking jobs, for instance, there are some scientific research that claims that, yes, but there is as much or even more that explains how the market works and what are the changes actually and how the world changes. And it's not about the robots who come and take it. It's about the people who don't want to learn new things. They will lose their jobs, definitely, absolutely, because the world is changing so much faster that you need to be on the top of the wave to catch new things. Otherwise, you will be left behind, and there's no point of, you know, paying the same salary to a person who is not able to work with the new machines. For instance, if you work in a kitchen and there comes a new oven, if you don't learn how to use it, how can you work there? You lose your job if you don't want to learn how the oven works. The robots are the same. They are a bit more complicated, but I wouldn't say that much. Because, for instance, the robot that we use, German Franka, it's super easy to program. I have no background in technology, and even I can do it. It's just you take it by the hand, you move to the positions, and it learns by itself.
Ah, so you're using the German robot arm called Franka from Munich?
Yes, exactly. They are also a startup, actually, and they have a very good robot. We are quite pleased that it works on ROS,
which is the operating system.
Yeah, the open platform operating system, and this gives an opportunity to use it by anybody. Actually, the guys who are programming are bachelor students in the university, so it's quite simple, and I think. Quite soon we'll be in a world where everybody can program robots and everybody can, you know, find applications to do it. So that's why we're moving, and I think people should be educating themselves on this kind of way or this passage.
Now I'm getting curious because you mentioned intellectual property before, but you're using a German robot arm. And you use open source for coding it. So what is actually, what is specifically yours, so to speak? What is your IP?
Our IP is first design, second software, and third we have invented some technical solutions inside the robot. The glass feeder, for instance, we have found a new way to build a... original unique robot hand, because all the robot hands that are on the market, I think 120, are not suitable for us, so we had to totally redesign it, and it's quite expensive, and those are the main things we are looking to patent.
Cheers,
absolutely. So I think next year we will be maybe back, hopefully, here in Tech Barbecue, and then free drinks for everybody.
We're looking forward to that. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Og fra de kolde drinks, der går vi til det kolde klima. Nu skal vi kigge på snerydderen.
My name is Anders Greve, and we are building autonomous street cleaning robots for business-to-business market, for large parking lots and sidewalks.
And this is the robot you have brought with you here. This is a prototype, or?
This is our second prototype. We are currently finishing our production version, and it will be ready in the beginning of October.
But why do we need a robot to do this job?
We have been a lot of conversation with possible clients, and they all have the issue. They have to hire about 100 manual labor workers a year. So it's time-consuming and it's a really expensive task to do. The manual labor are quite unpredictable. For example, they do not come to work in the morning after heavy drinking, so they have hangovers. So our robots don't have any hangovers. So, and the robots are more cheaper and more reliable than those manual labor workers today.
How does it function? How did you build it? I mean, of course, it has four wheels and a device in front which can shovel snow, but could you explain it a bit? It's autonomous?
Yeah. So our robot has stereo cameras, ultrasonic sensors, radars, and five cameras on it. So it detects the area and draws a 3D map for navigating purposes. So we can get, using those sensors, we can get positional awareness of 5 centimeters. In the winter, the robot is a snowplow, and it works for cleaning snow. And in the summertime, we will change the tool, and it will be a mechanical vacuum cleaner meant for sweeping up the streets from leaves and cigarette buns and this kinds of stuff.
But how efficient is it? I mean, what about the trees and bikes and stuff on the road?
One robot can clean up to 5,000 square meters. It can work up to 2 hours, and it needs only 20 minutes of charging.
You need a human to take care of it?
Yeah, within 2 years' time, we have our own operators, and one operator can control up to 10 robots. They are mostly autonomous, but when they are stuck or need some help, we can get a picture from our cameras, and the operator can tell the robot what to do.
When is this robot on the market?
We are starting our service this November, 1st November 2019. It starts out with snow removal, and in summer, it's a yearly service, and in summertime, we just change the tool, and it starts sweeping the streets.
And do you already have customers?
Actually, we have sold more robots than we can produce. We have sold 3 contracts for 3 robots. So at the moment, this is still a prototype, and the production version will be ready in 2 weeks' time. In this year, we are starting out in Estonia. End of 2020, we are targeting Scandinavian market. We are going to enter to Finland, Sweden, and Norway.
I'm just wondering, you mentioned the workforce.
Yeah.
That they do not show up or they have hangovers. Do you think that's the same problem that will occur in Denmark or Norway, for instance? Or is it an Estonian problem?
It is an Estonian problem, definitely. But as we are doing, before entering the markets, we will go to client interviews, and we will ask all the problems what our clients will have. So we adjust our robot according to that. We will see. Is this a problem in Norway and Sweden?
Who invented it? Is it a university project? Or?
Yeah. Okay. So we started this as a project for product development competition called Clever and Challenge, which started last September. So there was the task. We had to build autonomous robot for snow removal for home use within 3 months' time. So we did it. We put together a team. We had their marketeers, corporate leaders, mechanical engineer who has built student formula cars and an autonomous tank before. We have software developers with over 10 years of experience, and two electronical engineers and a product designer as well. By the way, our service, we are offering it as a robot as a service. And our service consists of one charging station and one robot. Probably it will be cheaper than manual labor.
det er jo lidt spøjst, når man har lyttet til de to iværksættere her, at de begge to taler om den virkelig dårlige kvalitet af menneskelig arbejdskraft. Det er den der fuldstændig klare stillingtagen til, at robotten simpelthen er mere effektiv end menneskelig arbejdskraft. Vi fik nævnt, at de måske ikke mødte op på arbejde, dem der skulle passe, dem der skulle gøre gaden rent eller stå i baren, og de måske havde tømmermænd og alt muligt andet. Jeg ved ikke, om det er et specifikt estisk problem, eller om det faktisk er sådan rigtig mange steder i verden, at folk simpelthen ikke gider møde op til den her type jobs. Og hvis man kigger på det på den måde, jamen så er robotter, der erstatter mennesker, jo sådan set en fin idé, men der er jo nogle mennesker her, der skal finde noget andet at lave. Det er jo en anden snak, som vi blandt andet havde haft i Techtopia nummer 125, der handlede om fremtidens arbejdsmarked. Så man kan med fordel lytte til det afsnit, når man har hørt om de estiske robotter her på Tech Barbecue. Kunne I godt tænke jer at bruge en robotbartender?
Ja. Nej, det er noget frygteligt pjat.
Hvad med sådan en robotsnerydder? Du bor i villa.
Og hvad kan den?
Den kan rydde sne.
Jeg vil hellere
have
en bartender.
Du vil have en bartender?
Ja, og selvom jeg bor på et hjørnegrund, så vil jeg hellere have en bartender. Klart. Hvem gider at stå og mixe drinkene? Det er der ingen, der gider. Vi vil drikke dem, ikke?
Ja. Ja, forskellige mennesker og forskellige behov, kan man sige. Du kan som altid finde mere information på techtopia.dk. Så kan du deltage i diskussionen i Techtopia Backstage, der er vores Facebook-gruppe. Du kan følge Techtopia på snabelag.techtopia.dk på Twitter. Så kan du skrive en e-mail til mig, henrik@techtopia.dk, hvis du har gode forslag eller andre ting. Så kan jeg egentlig ikke finde på mere at sige, fordi jeg blev hammer sulten af at rende rundt her på Tech Barbecue, så nu vil jeg gå og se, om der ikke er et eller andet menneske, som serverer noget mad, jeg kan gå for i mig, så jeg har lidt brændstof til resten af dagen. Tak fordi du lyttede med. I denne uge har jeg også fået et podkort fra Transformator.
Vi genbruger masser af plastik. Måske ikke det hele, vi har måske problemer med det, men vi er i gang. Og vi har haft flaskepant siden 1942. Men når det kommer til kemikalier, gør vi stort set intet for at genbruge, og det skal der findes en løsning på. Og så har forskerne lavet lyden af to sorte huller, der støder sammen. Vi kommer vidt omkring i ugens podcast Transformator, hvor vi også kommer med vores helt eget bud på, hvordan man kan anvende brugernes personlige data og samtidig bevare tilliden til brugerne.
Techtopia er en podcast om mennesker og deres teknologi. Den er udgivet af Ingeniørforeningen IDA i samarbejde med Teknologiens Mediehus, HI-messen, Index Award, Innovation Center Danmark og IDA Forsikring. Mit navn er Henrik Føns, og det er mig, der bestemmer i Techtopia.